Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm so glad that you're with me today. We hope you had a marvelous Christmas and glad that you're joining us today. By the way, happy Boxing Day to those in Canada and throughout the British Isles and the world, wherever Boxing Day is celebrated. Derek would be happy, I think, if he were still alive today, that we're mentioning Boxing Day. Thankful that you're here. Apologize for my raspy voice. I've had a lot of speaking and ministry recently, and so I've got a little voice strain, but feeling great and very excited about this series that we're learning from Derek Prince about the titles of Jesus. And today, he's going to talk to us about Jesus as Savior. Man, we don't want to miss that. Let's listen.
It's my sincere desire for each one of you, my listeners, that this Christmas season may be truly blessed, and furthermore, that its blessings may not prove transient. However, to receive the true and abiding blessings of Christmas, one thing is essential, that we keep Christ at the center of Christmas. Without Christ, Christmas loses any real or permanent significance. It is to help you do this that I've chosen my theme, Titles of Jesus. The title that I'm going to speak about today is perhaps the simplest and yet the most wonderful. It is Savior. This title, of course, was given to Jesus by revelation through an angel to Joseph, the husband of Mary, when Mary was not yet married but was his espoused wife. This is what the angel said. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So that indicates, which we know also from language study, that the name Jesus means Savior. It's important to see that this name was given by God himself, directly through the angel, and it was given before birth. It was the revelation of why God sent Jesus. He sent him to save his people from their sins. In Hebrew, the name Jesus is Yeshua, which is another form of a name familiar from the Old Testament, Yehoshua, which is what we use or call Joshua. And that name, Yeshua or Yehoshua, means salvation of the Lord. It's very important to see in the giving of this name and its application that salvation is in a person. It's not merely in religion or commandments or rituals. All those may be good, but in themselves they're insufficient to provide salvation. Salvation takes a person. This is brought out again later in the story of the baby Jesus in Luke chapter 2, verse 30, when his parents took him to the temple to offer the appropriate sacrifices that were required by the law. The old man Simeon, directed by the Holy Spirit, took up the infant Jesus in his arms, and he prayed a beautiful prayer in which he said to God these words, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." What was your salvation? It was just that little infant in his arms. But in that little infant, in that person, Jesus, was God's salvation. Later in the public ministry of Jesus, there came a time when he invited himself to the house of a tax collector named Zacchaeus. And everybody thought that Zacchaeus wasn't good enough to have Jesus come to his house. They began to murmur. But after Jesus had entered the house, he said to Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, verses 9 and 10, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." How did salvation come to the house of Zacchaeus? Salvation came in the person of Jesus. When Jesus came into that house, welcomed and received by Zacchaeus, then salvation entered the house. God's salvation is not just in law or religion, it's in a person. And we have to know the person to know salvation. Actually, the same principle is already indicated prophetically in the Old Testament. For instance, in Psalm 35, there's a prayer of David, which is quite remarkable. David was under much oppression. He had many enemies. His life was in danger. And in Psalm 35, verses 1 and 3, he prayed these words, "Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me." Then he goes on, "Say to my soul, I am your salvation." That's a remarkable prayer. He didn't just say, "Save me." He said, "Present yourself to me as my salvation." And I believe that God recorded that prayer of David, and just about 1,000 years later, he answered it when he sent Jesus. "Say to my soul, I am your salvation." Just bear that in mind, dear friend, that anything less than God himself is not sufficient for salvation. But God has provided salvation in the person of Jesus. To understand the full scope of the salvation that God has provided for us in Jesus, we need to look at the meaning of a particular verb that's used many times in the New Testament. In the Greek language, the verb is sozo. It's normally translated to save, but it's also translated many other ways. And if you don't have access to the original Greek, there might be many times that this word sozo, to save, is used, you wouldn't recognize it because it's translated to heal, to cure, and so on. But every time it's used, it means this is a part of what God has provided in Jesus the Savior. This is the great all-inclusive salvation which Jesus brings. For instance, it's used of the healing of an incurable disease, a woman who had hemorrhage or an issue of blood that could not be cured medically. And she came behind Jesus in the crowd, and in faith she touched the border of his robe, and she was healed. And then Jesus identified her. In Matthew 9:22, Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said, "your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed from that moment. That Greek word there is saved. Your faith has saved you. It wasn't just the salvation of her soul, but it was the healing of her body. And then that same word is used for deliverance from mental illness and demon oppression. In Luke 8, we read about a demoniac who had a legion of demons, but he came to Jesus, and Jesus drove out the demons and healed the demoniac. And this is the end of the story in Luke 8, 35, 36. The people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured, but the Greek word is saved. So deliverance from mental sickness and demon oppression is all part of the salvation that's in Jesus. You see, salvation is God's total provision for every need of humanity in time and eternity. God wrapped it all up in one Christmas gift, and the name on the parcel is Jesus. Furthermore, friends, remember this, God hung his gift on a tree, not a Christmas tree, but a cross.
Derek made a point that's extremely important for us, and that is that the Greek word sozo, which means to save, doesn't just mean to rescue us from hell, doesn't just mean to give us fire insurance. It means to make whole, to cure, to heal, to deliver. It's the most total renovation that can happen in a person's life. More to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Christmas is a wonderful time to share with family, to give gifts, and to thank God for the blessings that have come through His Son, Jesus. In his heartwarming story, A Stormy Christmas in the Holy Land, Derek Prince shares his extraordinary first-hand account of the harrowing yet glorious days in December of 1947, a time in which he, his wife Lydia, and their 9 adopted daughters found themselves caught in a spiritual and literal crossfire during the days leading up to the birth of Israel as a nation. As Derek recounts, "Looking back over that stormy Christmas, I realized that it taught me the very real message of Christmas, stripped of all of its externals and non-essentials. That message is Emmanuel, God with us. We believe you'll find it very meaningful in the days to come. So we would like to send you a copy of A Stormy Christmas in the Holy Land, absolutely free. Call us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And don't forget that you still have plenty of time to support the outreach of Derek Prince Ministries with your special year-end tax-deductible gift. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. It's great to have you with us. My name is Stephen Mansfield, and we're learning from Derek Prince about the titles of Jesus. You know what? A lot of people think that Christ is simply Jesus' last name, but you know what? It's not. It means anointed one, and Derek is about to teach us why this is significant.
I'm going to speak about another title that is equally simple and no less meaningful, Christ. Some people don't realize that Christ is a title. Let me just take a moment to explain to you the background of that word Christ. It's taken from the Greek of the New Testament. The Greek word is Christos. And that means, very simply and definitely, anointed. And it implies anointed with oil. The Greek Christos, in turn, is a representation of a word already familiar in the Old Testament in Hebrew. The Hebrew word is Mashiach, which likewise means exactly the same, anointed. In English, we have changed it into Messiah. So Christ in the New Testament and Messiah in the Old Testament mean one and the same thing, the anointed one. Furthermore, they refer to one and the same person, Jesus. It's remarkable how many Christian people don't realize that Christ is the same as Messiah. It's equally remarkable how many Jewish people don't realize that Messiah is the same as Christ. But whichever title we use, we mean the Anointed One. Now let's look at the message that was given by the angels to the shepherds at the time of Jesus' birth. In Luke 2, verse 11, the angels said this, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." That's the title we looked at yesterday, Savior. "He is Christ the Lord." So the Savior is the Christ, the Anointed One. This was the fulfillment of God's long-standing promise to Israel, that He would one day send them an Anointed One who would be two things, a deliverer and a king. This was familiar to them. For instance, in the book of Judges, God sent men of His choosing who became deliverers and ruled Israel for a while. And each one of those judges owed his ability to deliver Israel to the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon him. And then after that, when God gave Israel kings, the kings were set apart by the ceremony of anointing with oil. This is true of Israel's first king, Saul. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1, "Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, 'Has not the Lord anointed you leader over his inheritance?'" To be leader over God's inheritance, a man had to be anointed with oil. The oil, of course, being a picture or a type of the Holy Spirit. It's brought out even more clearly in the case of Israel's second king, David. God sent Samuel to the house of Jesse to anoint a king, and the appointed king was the youngest son, David. In 1 Samuel 16:13, we read, "So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him," that's David, "in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power." So there we see David being set aside by the anointing with oil to be the deliverer and the king for Israel, and the inner meaning of the anointing is brought out from the subsequent statement, "From that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power." So the Christ, the Messiah, is the one anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit to be a deliverer and a ruler. That there was to be a greater deliverer and ruler to come, even greater than David, is stated various places in the Old Testament. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, "Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. It promises that this deliverer and king will come from the line of David. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That's what makes him the anointed, the Spirit of the Lord resting upon him. Then the result is stated. He will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor, and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Here's God's righteous king, who's absolutely fair, impartial, and totally discerning in all his judgments, and in the administration of his kingdom. And the same promise is given again in Isaiah 61, verse 1, where the Messiah is portrayed speaking in the first person. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners." There again, all depends on the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The one who is thus anointed by the Holy Spirit is the one who is sent by God with a message of mercy and love and grace and healing power to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. That was the promise of the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. All God's promises of the anointed Messiah, the Christ, the Deliverer, and the King found their fulfillment in Jesus of Nazareth.
I love the story of Jesus standing in the synagogue where he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he's anointed me to do the following things." And then he says, "And this word is fulfilled in your hearing." You know what? Where you are right now, anywhere on this planet, the Word of God is capable of being absolutely experienced and fulfilled. More to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Christmas is a wonderful time to share with family, to give gifts, and to thank God for the blessings that have come through His Son, Jesus. In his heartwarming story, A Stormy Christmas in the Holy Land, Derek Prince shares his extraordinary first-hand account of the harrowing yet glorious days in December of 1947, a time in which he, his wife Lydia, and their 9 adopted daughters found themselves caught in a spiritual and literal crossfire during the days leading up to the birth of Israel as a nation. As Derek recounts, "Looking back over that stormy Christmas, I realized that it taught me the very real message of Christmas, stripped of all of its externals and non-essentials. That message is Emmanuel, God with us. We believe you'll find it very meaningful in the days to come. So we would like to send you a copy of A Stormy Christmas in the Holy Land, absolutely free. Call us toll free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And don't forget that you still have plenty of time to support the outreach of Derek Prince Ministries with your special year-end tax-deductible gift. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, delighted that you're with us today. And Derek Prince is teaching us about the names, the titles of Jesus. You don't want to miss this. Let's listen.
We look at three passages from the 4th chapter of Luke's Gospel, which bring out this fact that Jesus became, when the Holy Spirit came upon him at the River Jordan, the Anointed, the Messiah. From eternity, he was the one destined to be the Anointed, but at a certain point in history, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, he became, in actual effect, the Anointed. This is the description of what happened to Jesus after his baptism in Jordan by John the Baptist, Luke 4:1. "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led about by the Spirit in the wilderness." Note, he was filled, he was led by the Holy Spirit. The anointing was upon him. And then in Luke 4:14, after his temptation in the wilderness. It says this, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through all the surrounding districts. So he was filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. He was truly the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Christos, the Anointed. And then, thirdly, in Luke chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, we read how he himself declared that he was the fulfillment of God's promise. And he himself entered into the synagogue in Nazareth and took the scripture, which we've already read in Isaiah 61:1, and applied it to himself. Let's see what Luke says here. In Luke 4, 17 and 18, the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, that's Jesus. He opened the book and found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, and in words of tremendous historical significance, he said to them, Today this prophecy is fulfilled in your ears. He said, I am the one. I am the anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he went forth from that moment as the deliverer, bringing release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, setting free those who were downtrodden, bringing the gospel to the poor. This marvelous ministry of Jesus, the Anointed, the Christ, the Messiah, is summed up by Peter in one verse. As he was speaking to the house of Cornelius, he described to them what he'd witnessed in the ministry of Jesus. Acts 10:38, You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That's the summation of the ministry of Jesus as the Messiah, the Anointed, the Christ. God anointed him with the Holy Spirit. God was with him. And in the power of that anointing, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. It always blesses me to see that healing is attributed to God, sickness to the devil. Also in that verse, we have all three persons of the Godhead. God the Father anointed Jesus the Son with the Spirit, and the result, healing and deliverance for all humanity. What a blessed message, the message of the Christ.
You know, as we come to the end of Derek's teaching, I want to emphasize a very, very important point that I think is particularly important coming just after Christmas. You know, one of the great mistakes that we make in the Western world is that we assume that God, that Jesus, is a being to be studied. I had an African Christian one time say to me that we Africans worship God, you Americans study him. And I think there's some truth to that. What I want you to understand is what the Bible says, and that is that the Word is nigh you, that the Word right now, that Jesus right now can be experienced and known, and he can work in your life. What you're learning about him, what you're learning about him being a Savior, about him being the Christ, these are not just distant realities. These are not just words from a foreign language to put into your knowledge banks and call it done. These are things to be experienced. He is your Savior. He's ready to save you. He's ready to make you whole. He's ready to heal you. He is the Christ. He is the Anointed One. He's ready and willing to release power into your life. And as we continue to study this over Thursday and Friday of this week, I want you to get set to experience it and to welcome Jesus afresh into your life. Well, listen, that's all the time we have for now. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
To request your copy of Derek's heartwarming story, A Stormy Christmas in the Holy Land, call us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And take this opportunity to show your support of Derek Prince Ministries with your special year-end tax-deductible gift. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or request your free copy of A Stormy Christmas in the Holy Land, securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is produced by Derek Prince Ministries in association with Audio Aviators. Find out more about Derek Prince online at derekprince.org.